All right, I want to finish the message from this morning tonight. Go ahead and make your way, if you would, to two passages. We will hit more, but let's start with Malachi 3 again. And find, if you would, Proverbs chapter number 3 as well. Malachi 3 and Proverbs chapter 3. For those of you that were in the 11 o'clock service, Malcolm did get every penny of his money back today. And so you can rest assured that that happened. And it's funny how the Lord directs different things in different services. And so we preached this morning on the subject of tithing. And just love you for loving the Word of God. Love you for being back tonight. Love you for the responses that I got after the service, the emails and questions. And I guess, you know, we need Bible instruction constantly. And we should never take it for granted. And I had a goal this morning as God laid this message on my heart to preach it, to bless you, to encourage you, to protect you in this area of tithing. It was interesting that I made a comment about the radio and what I'd heard on the radio. And many of you heard the same comment. And your spiritual spidey sense went off. If you know that you have a spiritual spidey sense, say amen. You know when that thing just goes, something's not right. And so I heard that as well. And that encouraged me and gave me confirmation to preach the message. And so we began. We had 2 points this morning. Point number one, the tithe is the Lord's. Man, if you can grasp that one point, will change your life. That one point will set you on a pathway of obedience and yet also a pathway of blessing. Speaking of blessing, that was point number two. The tithe is the Lord's, number one. Point number two is the blessing is yours. Now, I had to defend tithing from false teaching and from man's opinion. And so one of the biggest attacks against tithing is that it's no longer relevant for our day and that it only fit with the Jew and it only fit during the law. The problem is when it was instituted 500 years prior by a Gentile and it was confirmed years after the law by the writer of Hebrews. And the Bible is very clear to let us know that the tithe is not tied to a people group or even to, per se, a age. The tithe is tied to the Lord. Leviticus 27, verse number 30 said, the tithe is the Lord's. Question for you, is Jesus the Lord today? Amen. Amen. So the tithe is tied to Him. The Bible says that it's holy unto Him. That word holy is separated, sanctified, dedicated unto the Lord. We said that tithing is not just putting money in the offering plate. That's not the extent of tithing. If that's all you do as a tither, then you're missing out on what true tithing is. And we went to Genesis 14, and when Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, who was a pre-incarnate of the Lord Jesus, then it was a demonstration or an act of worship. And he was acknowledging, the writer of Hebrews said, that there was one greater and that he was the lesser. He was acknowledging the authority of the King of Righteousness and the King of Peace. And we know that the King of Righteousness and the King of Peace is only the Lord Jesus Christ. So tithing is an act of worship. It's where we bring the tenth. The tenth, that's what the word means. So I'll show you tonight the verse on increase. Whatever God increases you, truth be told, David said, everything we own belongs to God. That's a good thought. Boy, that'll align your theology. That'll align your behavior. Everything that I own belongs to the Lord. And so he's responsible for me attaining that. However, as he increases me, increases you financially, then 10% of that is his tithe. It does not belong to me. So in essence, if you make 50 grand, you really make 45. Okay? So, because 10% of that belongs to the Lord. And he takes it pretty seriously. Matter of fact, in the book, when the nation of Israel wasn't tithing, the Lord questioned them and said, "Will a man rob God? What do you mean rob you, God? We would never rob you." God says, "Oh yeah, what about tithes and offerings?" And so they were robbing the Lord from what was due him. And God even said in doing so, they were bringing a curse upon them. We'll talk about that in just a moment. So God does care about the tithe. You say that you worship the Lord. If you do worship the Lord, then an act of worship is bringing him his tithe. You cannot come as a Christian into a service and want to worship the Lord and at the same time steal from him. Amen? We understand that. Now, understand some things about tithing. There's only a tithe when there's increase. So, Pastor, I only get paid twice a month. So 2 weeks out, 2 Sundays out of the month, there's not a tithe for you. Pastor, I get paid on a commission base. I never know what it is. Well, when you get paid. Pastor, I get paid once a month. Fine. Then there'll be works or weeks when you don't have the tithe for being paid. Now, you might get increased somewhere else. You may have a stock dividend come in. You may have some kind of sale that comes in. Wherever there's increase, there's a responsibility to acknowledge that that was of the Lord and to bring the Lord his tithe. I think you understand that, especially. So if you're sitting there and there's not been any increase, you don't need to feel any pressure. The responsibility is when there's increase, then you have that responsibility to bring the tithe. Tithing is mentioned 28 times in the Old Testament after the book of Leviticus. It's mentioned twice by the Lord Jesus, Matthew 23 and Luke chapter number 11. Now, all of that being said, how you doing? How you doing? Do you tithe? Now, what I have found is pretty much everybody tithes. Whether we tithe to the Lord or not, that all depends. But usually, if you'll look at somebody's checkbook, or we don't have checkbooks anymore, what do we have now? If you look at their computer statements or whatever, you can pretty much see where people love things. You can pretty much see where they're tithing to. But the tithe belongs to the Lord. Now, the great thing for us is that as God holds us responsible for that, then he adds a blessing to us for doing it. We found that in chapter 3, verse number 10. So just real quickly, if you look at that verse, he says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing." That's what Devin was saying. Devin was saying, we're tithers, and God opens the window of heaven and poured us out a dish or a water heater. Or God opens up the windows of heaven and he pours us out a blessing. And so the Lord is even challenging you to prove him. He's not afraid of you. God's not afraid of you. And so God says now, okay, you don't trust me. I'll prove me. You bring me my tithe and see if I don't open up the window of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Now, if you're going to be in the place of blessing, you got to bring the tithe right. Look at verse number 10. Number one, you realize that you bring it, you don't give it, it doesn't belong to you. Number two, you bring all the tithes. Now, I want to say something here, and I want to be careful on this, but the tithe is 10%. And sometimes we want to monkey with that. Now, it helps my conscience if I can't give 10, at least I can give 6. Or, Pastor, I haven't worked up to 10, but I'm giving 9, or I'm giving 3, or I'm giving 5. And somehow in our brain, we kind of rationalize that, well, at least I'm trying. I understand that, but you're still failing. Okay? I will say this. I believe I have permission to say this. Giving nine is like giving nothing. That's like saying, I'm going to bring you half your shovel back. Be happy. Well, I want the whole shovel. Well, here's the handle. I kept the spade part. Well, why'd you keep the spade part? Because I still got more holes to dig. Well, but you could use the shovel anytime you wanted to. Right. You could use the shovel anytime you wanted to, but you didn't trust. So we can kind of help build our thought process up to where we feel good, but in reality, tithing is 10%. Amen? So you bring all the tithe. Where do you bring it? You bring it to the storehouse. We believe that the storehouse in the Old Testament was the temple. In the New Testament, that storehouse is the church. 1 Corinthians alludes to that. Acts alludes to that. And so that is the place where you are to bring the Lord's tithe. Not to divvy it out everywhere and take the control of that. I had a wonderful email come to me this afternoon. And I don't know if you're here or not. I won't use your name. But here was the question. The question was, we listened to the sermon this morning, and we want to make sure we're doing right. Right now, we're supporting an orphanage, I think they said, down in the Philippines or somewhere. I can't remember. And they said, we're supporting that orphanage with the tithe. Are we doing right? Okay. Well, you got people that love the Lord. You got people that are giving. You got people that are interested in that. But the question came, are we doing right sending our tithe down there? Pastor, how do you answer that question? Well, you answer that question with the Bible. And the Bible says that we're to bring all the tithes where? Into the storehouse. So my response to them was, listen, appreciate your heart. Obviously, you love the Lord. I think the Lord's trying to do something great in your life. So here was my response to that. Why don't you bring the Lord his tithe and send your money down there? Oh. Well, I'm not sure about that, Pastor. Now, I didn't get a response from them. I think I'm going to get a positive response. Okay? So, but why wouldn't you do that? Bring the Lord his tithe. And then if you have other ministries, send your money down there that you're steward of to those other ministries. Don't take the Lord's money and do that. Send your money down there to do that. Pastor, that's a lot of money. Yeah, but we have a big God. Trust him. So that's no different than what I would do, or many folks in this, people in this church do. We bring the Lord his tithe, but we still send missions money. We still give money to orphanages down in Haiti. We give money to orphanages out in Africa through World Hope. We send money to those places. We don't send the Lord's tithe. We send the other money. And you know what? God blesses that. Okay, so bring all the tithe into the storehouse. Well, Pastor, the church just want money. And that's not true. I'm just reading to you what the Bible says. And then God says, prove me now, and I'll open the windows of heaven, and I'll pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And so what a joy. Now, I want to go further in verse number 11 and address a couple of other blessings that are here. Look at verse number 11, what tithing will do for you. And the Bible says, and God says, and I will rebuke the who? The devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. So one of the blessings to the tither is that we have God as our protector. And God is watching over the fruits of our life. He's watching over the investments and the interest of our lives. And so what God does is God says, now to my tither, I'm going to rebuke that devourer. I'm going to hold that devourer, and I'm not going to let him destroy your field. I'm not going to let him destroy the blessing that I have for you. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be rich. That doesn't mean that you're not going to have problems. That just means that God's going to be able to kind of hedge around you. And so what a beautiful and wonderful testimony. The devourer tries to discourage us many times through loss or through breakdown or through suffering. So if your water heater goes out, let's just use an illustration. Honestly, don't answer out loud. Where's Jim Ingersoll? Water heater costs what?
Now, about $1,000.
Okay. Time you installed and everything. So if your water heater went out right now, how would you pay for another one? Do you have $1,000 right now that you could go and you could pull from and you could buy a water heater? Well, Pastor, I would have to put that on a credit card, or I would have to find some other way, or I would have to do this, or I would have to do that. Right. Okay, I don't know your situation. I'm just asking you how you would do it. If you tithe, let me tell you exactly what you do. Lord, I'm a tither. You promised. I need help. Meet my need. Amen? That's how you work. And God begins to meet our need. How many have ever had him meet a need like that? Could I see your hand? That's the privilege, man. If you don't tithe, what do you say to God? God, I'm a thief. Okay. Verse number 12. All the nations shall call you blessed. That's what Devin was saying. For ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. There's just an anointing and a delight on the tither. And people scratch their head and say, how do they do what they do? Or how do they get this? Or what do they do here? And the answer is just simply, the Lord bless me. He made me a delight. He's put his favor upon me. These are the promises that God gave to the nation of Israel when they tithed. And I think those promises are applicable to us. He would open up the window of heaven. He'll pour you out a blessing. He'll rebuke the devourer and protect you. And then he will provide for you. And you'll become a delightsome in the land. Now, a couple other things. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. There's another promise here. This is a great verse. There's also some instruction here for tithing. Verse number 5 begins with what word, class?
Trust.
We sang the song, trust and obey. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Verse number 9. Honor the Lord. Now the tithe belongs to who? The Lord. So Solomon's writing here to his boy. He's encouraging his boy. And he says, son, honor the Lord. Honor the Lord with thy substance. And with the first fruits of all thine increase. That's where we get that word. By the way, mom and dad, you should be teaching your children tithing. Okay? Bev and I have made it a conscious effort when those kids were growing up. If they got money from grandma, they tithe. Now, there were some times they tithe whether they wanted to or not. But they tithe. And we would tell them, if you tithe, that honors the Lord, and the Lord will bless you. Is Madison here? Is Madison in the room? Okay, good. I can tell you a story and you won't tell her? Okay. So Madison got a job at Fresh Market. She even gave me this testimony as we were coming in this afternoon. And when she started the job at Fresh Market, she's trying to get a job to go have money to go to school, and she couldn't get hours. and her checks were really small. And Madison learned something called taxes. She is not in favor of taxes. They took $50. Like, Madison, calm down. Calm down. So Madison, you got to tithe. Okay, well, I brought home $150. No. No, not what you brought home. The other number. What other number? No, the number up there. What do you mean up there? They took that money. No, Madison, understand. Do the number up there. God will bless you. So she came to me today. She said, Dad, she said, I wish I could tell the people that when I started tithing and giving the faith promise, all of a sudden the boss starts picking up the phone. Can Madison work this shift? Can Madison work this shift? Can Madison work this shift? And God has enlarged her now. Now she complains about the bigger number of taxes that are taken out of there. She's 18 years. No, she'll be 18 in March, March 3rd. She's 17 years old. And she's learning how to honor the Lord. And look, if you would, at verse number 10. So shall thy barns be filled with what? Plenty. And thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Okay, so Solomon said, now, son, honor the Lord with the first fruits of all your increase. Let's talk about first fruits. To me, I think that this verse is leading you, and if I could teach you in a practical way, if your tithe check is the last check you write at the end of the week, you're in trouble. That tithe needs to be the first check you write. Pastor, we don't write checks. You're old. Okay. All right. I understand. But however you do it, so when you get paid and you sit down, I never look at my bills before I write my offering. Why? You stay over there. Beverly's been busy this week. You stay over there. And I'll write my check, and I'll say, okay, Lord, here's your tithe. Now I go over here, and I begin to write my bills. And I'm no different than you. Sometimes my bills outweigh my money. I say, okay, Lord, I can only write so many. I need a little bit of money for this. I need a little bit of money for that. I got to keep this. So, Lord, you're going to have to protect me. Never shut my lights out. Never turn my water off. Never done anything. Why? Because God keeps his word. So you got to do it first. If you struggle, you say, well, I'm going to pay everything, and then right Sunday morning, I'm going to write that check. I don't know about that. Honor the Lord with your first fruits, so of all thine increase. So God promises that he'll pour us a blessing. He'll rebuke the devourer. We'll become a delightsome land, that our barns will be filled with plenty. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be rich and you're going to have all this nest egg. I have found that God can't trust me with money too much. You ever pray, God, would you just give me enough money so I could just not have to pray this week? Could you give me enough money just so I don't have to worry? No, because that keeps me close to him. And God's going to give plenty. Go, if you would, to Genesis chapter 28, and we'll finish here. In Genesis chapter 28, I didn't take you here this morning, but this is a mention of tithing in the life of Jacob. And Jacob has just had a wonderful experience with the Lord. He's setting up a altar for this. Verse number 19. He called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city was called Luz at first. Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the what? Tenth unto thee. So here's what Jacob said. Jacob said, now God, you've revealed yourself to me. You've made these promises in verse number 14, and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now God, if you're going to do all that for me and you're going to protect me and minister to me and give to me and provide to me so that I can come again to my father's house in peace, I want that, Lord. I submit to that. And then he says in verse 22, now as you bless me, everything you give to me, I will tithe. And if you read chapter 29 and you read through the life of Jacob up until when he meets Esau, God blessed Jacob immensely. And even though Jacob was not the most honest guy, or he had some failures there, I think God knew that Jacob would tithe. And so God enlarged Jacob. Now I'll teach you a principle. My dad taught me this. I've said it to you before. God has wealth. And God has a work. And the way that God gets his wealth into his work is through his people. So I don't know about you, but I want God to do a work in me so God can do a work through me. And if God's got a work to do, then I want God to funnel those resources through my life so that I can serve him. And God's not going to funnel resources through a non-tither's life. So God needs to know that as I want to do this work and as I enlarge them, that I know Tom's going to tithe. And so I know I'll get my tithe, so I'm going to funnel that through Tom's life, or I'm going to funnel that through Malcolm's life, or I'm going to funnel that through Al's life. Why? Because I trust them with my tithe. And I have found that the people that don't tithe, they never see the rich, full power of God. Everything is always trying to make ends meet, or everything is kind of, and the devourer comes and gets certain things. But the person that God knows, and God will enlarge you if you're trustworthy with his tithe. Amen. So I want to be known as that. I want to be trustworthy. God, I want you to enlarge me and you will get your tithe. And Jacob even vowed a vow and said that, and God did that. I guess I will close the message along these lines. It's up to you. It's up to you. You can either take this to heart and practice this and put yourself in a place of blessing from the Lord, or not. I can't make you do it. And to be honest with you, I don't even want you to do it begrudgingly. I want you to do it because it's in your heart to do it. That's what I want you to do. But I'm telling you as your pastor, don't listen to these people that tell you you don't have to tithe anymore. The tithe is tied to the Lord. You honor the Lord. He'll bless you. He will be no man's debtor. Let's pray.